they're going to discuss with you in regards to what we did in the lesson. So if you can, take your notes, listen carefully, because they'll be asking questions based off of it, okay? Carl, do you mind opening us in a word of prayer?
Whether I do or not, I will. Heavenly Father, we come into your house and we assemble together to worship you, because you are fully qualified to accept our worship, the only force in the whole universe that is. So we thank you for what you've done, what you continue to do, and what you will do in the future. We ask your blessing on this time. We ask that our minds open up enough for new ideas, new thoughts. And we ask that you help us to keep loving you the way we should. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So the first 3 weeks of this study, we looked at the doctrine of the Bible. And we looked and we saw that it was inspired, that it was profitable, and that it was inerrant. And there's much more that we could have done, but we're going to go on to the next one, and that is the doctrine of God. It's called theology proper. That's just the study of God and who he is. And Bill in Sunday school has gone over a bunch of things about God. He's talked about where he came from, his existence, and he talked about the Trinity. And so I'm going to go a little different direction. I'm going to hit a few things. And one of those things tonight is I want us to talk about the names of God. The names of God. Now, we're going to start off with a big explosion of all of the names of God that we run across, and then we're going to focus in on just a few of them. Really, three main ones with some sub-names underneath that. So, some of you have been chosen. And as the Bible says, all are called, but some are chosen.
So, I am the chosen one.
So I am going to start off, and I am going to read numbers 1 through 13 on the names of God. There are 270. So then the person who starts with 14, who starts with 14? And it goes to what number?
49.
Who has 50, and starting with 50? Is that you, Bill?
50 to 85.
Okay, who's 86 in there? Okay, we
86 got 86 to 121.
To 121, and then
122 to 157.
Okay, then
158 to 209.
Okay.
210 to 245.
And
246 to 270.
There we go. Now you do not need to read the verses. If somebody wants the verses, I will tell you whatever. Just read the names. We're just going to go through here as we look at all of these names of God. All right? So I will start off with 1 to 13. Ready? He is Jehovah Eloheinu. He's the El Shaddai. He's the Gemola. He's El Olam. He's Almighty, Ancient of Days, Anointed One, Arm of the Lord, Branch, Breath of Life, Bridegroom, Buckler, Chosen One, Commander.
Consuming Fire, Cornerstone, Counselor, Crown of Beauty, Desired of All Nations, Diadem of Beauty, Dwelling Place, Elect One, Eternal God, the Everlasting Father, Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Seems like a repeat there. Excellent, Fortress, Fountain of Living Waters, Fuller's Soap, Gentle Whisper, Glory of the Lord, God, God of the whole earth, God who sees me, Goodness, Governor, Guide, Hiding Place, Holy One of Israel, Husband, I Am, Emmanuel, Jah, Jealous, Jehovah, Keeper, and King.
King of Glory, Lawgiver, Leader, like an eagle,
Lily of the Valley, living God, Lord of hosts, Lord of righteousness, loving kindness, maker, man of sorrows, merciful God, messenger of covenant, mighty one, most upright, portion, purifier, refiner's fire, refuge, rose of Sharon, ruler over Israel, scepter, seed, servant, shade, shield, Shiloh, song, spirit of God, star out of Jacob, stone of Israel, stronghold, strong tower, son of righteousness, the one, wall of fire.
What number's next?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Witness, Yah, Avenger, Abba, Advocate, all in all, Alpha, Amen, Apostle, author of eternal salvation, author of faith, author of peace, beginning, Bishop of souls, blessed and holy, ruler, bread of God, bread of life, bright morning star, captain of salvation, carpenter, chief shepherd, Christ, Christ of God, Christ the Lord, Christ, Son of the living God, comforter, consolation of Israel, creator, day spring, deliverer, door, Emmanuel, and eternal life, eternal spirit.
I think Barb's next.
Faith and true, faithful witness, father, firstborn, first fruit, foundation, friend, gift of God, God over all, good shepherd, head of the body, head of the church, heir of all things, highest, high priest, Holy Ghost, Holy One, Holy Spirit, hope, horn of salvation, image of God, image of person, intercessor, Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord, just one, King eternal, King of Jews, King of kings, King of saints, Lamb of God, last Adam, life, light of the world, Lion of the tribe of Judah, living stone.
Living water, Lord, Lord God Almighty, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of glory, Lord of all, Lord of harvest, Lord of lords, love, majesty on high, master, mediator, Messiah, Nazarene, offspring of David, Omega, only begotten Son, our Passover Lamb, our peace, physician, potentate, power of God, prince of life, prophet, prophet of the highest, propitiation, quickening spirit, Rabboni, radiance of God's glory, resurrection, rewarder, righteous one, rock, root of David, ruler of God's creation, ruler over kings of earth.
Savior, shepherd of our souls, son of David, son of God, son of man, son of the Most High, source, spirit, spirit of adoption, spirit of truth, stone, teacher, temple, true light, true witness, truth, vine, way, word, word of God, mediator of the new covenant, author of life, apostle of our profession, lamb without blemish, firstborn from the dead, living one, chief cornerstone, king of the ages, man from heaven, king of Israel, ransom, true bread, our great God and Savior, the stone the builders rejected, capstone and precious cornerstone.
Our holiness, true vine, gate, author and perfecter of our faith, judge of the living and the dead, Holy One, our redemption, source of the eternal salvation, our protection, atoning sacrifice for our sins, first begotten of the dead, firstborn of many brethren, his first begotten, firstborn of every creature, a witness to us, desire of all nations, former of all things, God alone, God of all flesh, God of all grace, God of peace, judge, great high priest, redeemer, angel of the Lord, Ebenezer.
Very good. 270 names we just read. 270. I think it was Carl that prayed in a prayer sometime recently. I don't know if it was in church or in with us as elders or whatever, where he said, God, we can never understand all of who you are. Do you know that each one of those names meant something? They present character of who our God is. So many things he is. So many things. And we need him. We need him. And so as we go through this evening, as we just start to look at a few of those names, I want us to see the character of who God is so that we can start to put some application to life. When you break off into groups, what we're going to talk about is, what is it in your life that God and his name and his character have meant to you to encourage others? So here we go. We're going to just look at three main names. Ready? Ready? There's the first one.
All right.
Ready? Write that down. That is the word Adonai. That is the word Adonai.
You didn't know.
I didn't get that.
Very good. Is
that Hebrew?
That was Hebrew.
Like Greek Hebrew.
No, that's Hebrew. Adonai. And it is used 434 times in the scripture. And the thing about Adonai, it not only can be referring to God, it also at times can be referring to other people too, at times. It means Lord or Master. In the capital L, little O, little R, little D, Lord, that we see in our Bible. It means that he is the Lord, he is the Master. And so sometimes it is written of other people who are in charge of things and sovereign over different areas. The practical application of this is that he is our Lord. I mean, stop and think about that. He is the one who is our master. And one of his names just pulls that out 434 times in scripture. Pulls it out. He is the master of our life. He's the one who's in charge. He's the one who's sovereign. He's the one who we need to lead. The idea of we follow after Christ, we follow after God, that is because he is our Lord. And we ought to be on our knees before him. Well, that's the first one. There's the second one. You want to tell us what this one is?
Is it El Shaddai? Elohim?
Wow! How did you do this?
I just guessed.
You're right. It's Elohim.
Too easy to give away.
Yeah, okay, so it is. Okay, you're cheating with the notes. I didn't do anything. So it's the word El or Elohim, and there's some compound words that are in there that we'll talk about a little bit. Now, you do know what the difference is. Oh, no, never mind. That's in the next one. It's used over 2,500 times in Scripture. El is singular, Elohim is plural, which comes in, and it kind of, it isn't an evidence, but it's kind of an interesting thing that's helpful, where in Scripture we see that in the beginning, God, Elohim, plural. And God said, let us make man in our image. I'm not going to get into it because Bill already went through the subject of the Trinity, but that's not to prove it. It's there to just say, hey, here is Scripture. It's just kind of reinforcing the fact that God is not just singular. Although God is singular, the Lord our God, he is one, but yet he's El and Elohim. He is singular and plural. Kind of an amazing thing that is there. Let's talk about some examples of compound words. By the way, you ever hear the song from the 80s, I think it was, called El Shaddai? Mm-hmm. El Shaddai, El Shaddai. I sang this morning. That was terrible, but that's okay. That is a song, and that is one of the names. Here's some of the examples. Here's some more examples. You need to edit mine too, okay? So, El Shaddai. That word El Shaddai means the Lord Almighty and Sufficient One. As a matter of fact, we can go through Scripture and we see this word El Shaddai in it, and it's about 60 times. The book that is written the most in is rather interesting is the book of Job. And it's used by these other guys who are trying to say, here's the Lord God Almighty, you must have sinned against him. And so the Lord God Almighty is a sufficient one. There's a few different ideas of exactly what the word means. One is that he is the mountain. They say Shaddai has some connection with the word mountain. Another one has something to do with a mother's breast and providing nourishment for his people. But usually the word is used for the Lord Almighty, the sufficient one. Next one is this, El Elyon. That's also in that song. El Shaddai, El Elyon. Adonai.
I haven't done it. Can't pronounce them all.
And that is God Most High or Sovereign God. Let's go ahead and look in our Bibles when this word is being used. It's interesting who is using it in the passage. So turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Now, when I say Isaiah chapter 14, does anybody think of anything? Because it's kind of like a famous passage for one person, a creation of God. Now, we'll see here in a second.
Where are we looking?
Isaiah 14. Ready? Isaiah 14. And verses 13 and 14. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. You know who we're talking about, right? And Satan, Lucifer in the Latin dawn of the morning. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. He was referring to God. That's El Elyon. Here's another one. El Olam. This is everlasting God. Genesis chapter 21. In verse 33. It says, Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, El Olam, the everlasting God. So we see some character traits that are going here. God is almighty above everything else. He's the sufficient one. He is the Most High God. He is sovereign over everything. He is everlasting. And we'll come across this one again as we look at another one. But here's the question. When did God begin? And the answer is yes. He had no beginning.
Yes.
There was no beginning to him. He always was. He was. He is. He is to come. One more L word. Kaihim. This is actually kind of a kind of word that is used in that song El Shaddai. El Kalkama Adonai. Just another way of saying that same word. That is, he is the living God. And this is taken from Deuteronomy. So I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. I think you'll be familiar with the passage when we get there, the story that's going on. Deuteronomy 5, beginning in verse 22. It says these words, the Lord spoke to all the assembly at the mountain from the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick gloom with a great voice, and he added no more. He wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And when you heard the voice from him in the midst of the darkness while the mountains were burning with fire, you came near to me and the heads of your tribes and your elders. You said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard the voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen today that God speaks with man, yet he lives. Now then, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer, then we will die. For who is there in all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God? El Kayam. The living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived. So he is the living God. He's the everlasting God. He's the God most high. He's the Lord Almighty. This one's used 2,500 times. There is one more word that is used to describe God that is used more than both of those put together, Adonai and El or Elohim. And I'm assuming that you know what this one is too, right? She's looking at the letters, and it's going to be...
It's spelled wrong.
Jehovah?
It's a typo.
It's YHWH or VH. It is Yahweh or Jehovah. He didn't even see the note. He didn't even see it.
I said Jehovah.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you said that. Okay.
I was saying it out here. Trying to yell.
Now, you've heard Yahweh, right? Mm-hmm. And you've heard Jehovah, correct? Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
Crickets.
Is there a difference?
I was led to believe it's, was it from tribes or from areas? They had a different
way of pronouncing
reference to him.
A different reference. Was it spelled differently?
No. I don't know.
So
I just know that the hearing the name, I got a Jewish friend.
Mm-hmm.
And from what he told me, it was like if you're the Orthodox, you would use the reference from the Old Testament. If you were a New Day Jew, they referred to him as the, like Jesus. Same person, just a different character.
I am certain that there's very much that way, that certain groups say one, certain groups say another. Same's true in Bible churches and other churches around. Some say Yahweh, some say Jehovah. And here's the reason why. Have you ever heard the idea that when they wrote down the name of God, Yahweh or Jehovah, that they washed their hands in between, that they didn't want to write? A lot of times they actually didn't even write it. They wrote Adonai instead. But they would write it down, and it was such a holy name that they wouldn't speak it. But here's the deal. The Bible in Hebrew, when it was written, it's written backwards, you know, so when it's written from the right to the left. Right to the left. Anyhow, when they wrote the Hebrew New Testament, it had zero vowels in it. No vowels. So YHWH, are there vowels there? Don't know. The thing was, is that all the other ones, you can go through tradition and you can go and say to your Jewish friend, well, how did they pronounce it back then? And then they put in all these different vowels with dots and lines and all these different things that are there. As a matter of fact, you could go back to Elohim Adonai, and you could see some of those things that they make as vowels that they put in there afterwards. But when they went to write down, or when they started to ask, well, what? How did you pronounce YHWH, we didn't speak it. So they just went off of some things that they had, and some would pronounce it Jehovah, and some would pronounce it Yahweh. So that's the difference. Not that big of a difference, just something interesting to know. Anyhow, it is used 6,915 times in the Bible. Quite a bit more than the others. And it is first presented, it is not first presented. Turn to Exodus chapter 2, if you would, or chapter 6. Chapter 6. Verse 2 and 3. It says, God spoke further to Moses, and he said unto him, I am the Lord. Does your Bible have capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D?
Yes.
That's Yahweh or Jehovah, however you want to pronounce it. I'm going to call it Yahweh from here on out. I don't know why I like that one a little bit better. I am Yahweh. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. What was God Almighty?
Capital G, capital A.
Shaddai.
El Shaddai. Yeah, so the Elohim word is there. I appeared to God Almighty, but by my name, Lord Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. So he's saying, I first came to you and presented myself as Yahweh. Well, when did he do that? Well, back in Exodus chapter 3. When he's there at the burning bush, do you remember the story? And he says, I can't talk. And God says, you're going to go talk? I'll give you somebody to help you out. And he said, then who in the world am I supposed to tell them sent me? And verse 15 says this, God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the
Lord
Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. The name that is used more than any other is the name that he wants to present himself as forevermore. Now, doesn't mean that God didn't use his name, Yahweh, back before Exodus, because we're going to see that it was, but he didn't present himself like he did to Moses and saying, this is who I am. By the way, the name means I am. I am. He was basically saying, here is who I am. I've always been. In eternity past, I was the I am. Today, I am the I am. Forevermore, I am the I am. I was and is to come. He is eternal. He is self-existent.
So the I am is the meaning of Lord or of Yahweh?
Of Yahweh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It comes from a verb that basically just means is. I am. I am the great I am. All right. So there are various compounds to this. Jehovah, we're going to use the word Jehovah because that's usually how these words are done. So let's talk about them a little bit. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to a few places. Genesis chapter 22. And I'm going to ask somebody to volunteer to read. Somebody want to read for us tonight? All right. Andrew, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And at the very end, we're going to see the name that he gives himself there. And then we're going to just kind of ask ourselves, well, then what does that name mean? Okay?
After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood from the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to the young man, or men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they both went together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in the order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught into a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went up and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, or called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide."
Okay, stop there. He named the place Jehovah Jireh. As he read, "The Lord will provide." What does that mean? The Lord will provide. What was going on in the story? How the Lord provided? Anybody?
Provided the sacrifice instead of Isaac.
He provided the sacrifice instead of Isaac. So there's one of the things about our God. He will provide. Next one is found in, let me find my notes here. Exodus chapter 15. One of these Jehovah names. And would somebody read 22 through 26 there?
So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you."
I am the Lord Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And how did he heal? How did he heal? She just read it.
He cried out to him. There was a tree, and he put a branch in the water, and the water was made sweet.
That's part of it, and then he said...
He said he wouldn't give any of them diseases.
Yes, he wouldn't give the diseases that he gave to the Egyptians. The Lord was a healer for the people of Israel. So that is Jehovah Rapha. Next one. Exodus chapter 17. Verses 8 through 16. Is somebody willing to read that for us?
I'll read it.
Okay.
"And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will..."
Is this verse 8? Chapter 17, verse 8?
I'm on 15.
No, chapter 17. I'm sorry.
Sorry. "Now, Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. When the Lord said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner."
Ah, there we go. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Now, what does that mean? The Lord's my banner. Any thoughts? What went on in that story?
It's like a victory.
There was a victory, but the victory was based off of what?
How long he held his hands up.
Yep. He had to hold that staff in the air because the Lord was that banner. And that's what the banner is that we're supposed to rally around. The banner of our Lord. All right. Next one, Exodus 31:13. I'll read this one. It's only one verse. But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, "You shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." You can just write down that word, and you can pronounce it any way you want to.
Oh.
And I don't think there's a typo there. I think that's how it is. The Lord who sanctifies. That's what he says. I'm the one who sanctifies you. What does sanctify mean?
Made holy.
Okay. Made holy, set apart for God's use. And in order for that to happen, he's made you righteous and holy. Okay. He's the one who does that. Next one is found in Judges. And for sake of time, I'm just going to tell you the verses, Judges 6, 1 through 24. It is a story of Gideon. Remember Gideon? God calls him to fight against the Midianites, and he said, "Who, me?" And at the end of all of that, he comes to the conclusion that God is going to bring peace to the children of Israel through him. And he goes and he builds an altar, and he calls it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody who is our God who can give us peace? Isn't it nice to have someone who gives us sanctification? Isn't it nice one that we can gather around, one that heals, one that provides? Next one is Jehovah Sabaoth. Sabaoth. And that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 41 through 45. That is the story of David and Goliath. Remember? And he says, "You want to come and fight against me? I got the Lord of hosts on my side." The Lord of hosts, meaning that he is the Lord of all of the armies of heaven. All the angels that are there, the Lord of hosts. Just a few more.
What was it?
Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Next one is found in Psalm 23. Does anybody know how that one starts?
The Lord is my shepherd.
Ah, he is Jehovah Raha, the Lord our shepherd. Which has a whole lot of things involved with that. Number one, he's the one we're supposed to be following after. He is the Lord, but it's also the one who helps us when we're fearful. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's the difference?
Fear no evil.
I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But even in the beginning, it says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and sheep won't lie down in green pastures if they're afraid that there's something out there. Make me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Same sort of thing. If they're afraid that water's going too fast, they won't drink from it. He's got to take them there. That we could go through all sorts of things in regards to that. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, is found in Ezekiel 48, verse 35. The Lord is there. That's kind of the New Testament version of, I will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. The five times, I will never, ever, 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 ever leave or forsake you. And the last one, the T is silent in it. Said Canu, Lord, our righteousness. That's found in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6, and chapter 33, verses 15 and 16. So, overall, we've gone through just some of the names of God and shown us some of his characteristics, that he is the Lord over everything, that he is the Almighty, that he is the sovereign, that he's everlasting, that he's living, that he's sufficient, that he's a provider, that he's a healer, that he's a banner, that he's a sanctifier, that he's peace, that he is in charge of the heavenly armies, that he's our shepherd, that he's always there, and that he is righteous. So with all those thoughts of the names of God, just some of them, because there's 270 of them, right? Just with some of them, we're going to break up into groups, and we're going to just kind of have a little discussion here. I don't think we have enough for three groups. Is there one of you that would volunteer not to be in charge of a group? Okay. Andrew is not going to be in charge of a group. So what we're going
to
do...
I noticed you didn't give Bill a chance to get his hand up.
Nope.
We have cupcakes, sir.
We'll come to your group.
So, Carl, if you want to take your group to the back, maybe. And
cupcakes?
Huh?
No,
cupcakes are here.
You can take a cupcake when you leave.
You know, you can talk for a few minutes and, you know, kind of go through your...